Justin. I appreciate Brother Justin so much. He worked last night, got in really late, but he came and was faithful in his office, and I appreciate that so much. Amen. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. It's good to see you. I pray that you had a blessed Merry Christmas. This is one of those years where the devil tried to make it not seem like Christmas, tried to take Christmas away, but he can't take Christ out of the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. If you would open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I was praying for this service, praying for you, praying for whoever might be listening. And as I was praying in the Spirit of God led me to these particular verses of Scripture. So we're just going to follow the Lord. You let that Holy Spirit that's inside of you just lead you, and let's all go on this journey together this morning. Amen. Romans chapter 12, I want to read verse 9, and then we're going to jump back up to verse 1. But Romans chapter 12, verse 9, if you're there, say amen. Let love be without dissimulation, or let love be sincere. Let it be with sincerity. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, detest utterly that which is evil. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. But how can we do that? Jump back up to verse number 1. The Apostle Paul to the church at Rome says, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sistren, say he's talking to the church, he's talking to me, by the mercies, hallelujah, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your rational, your logical service, your logical worship. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we do that? Verse number 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, unto us, to every man, every person that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Why? According as God has dealt to every man, every person, the measure of faith. Hallelujah. Brother Duckett, would you pray? Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Duckett. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. I love the testimony that Brother Henry shared with me this morning when I walked into the sanctuary. He just confirmed exactly what was on my heart. He was talking about that he had knowledge to be able to make his life better because God told him he needed to eat some protein. You think, well, that's no big deal. No, that's a super big deal. God wants to tell us about everything about our life. And so as I was walking and praying about this service and just trusting the Holy Spirit, he said, I want my people to understand the knowledge of evil and good, the knowledge of evil and good. And so that was a good thing. God gave Brother Henry knowledge of what he needed to do. And so this morning, the reason why God wants us to bring us in remembrance of what he wants to speak into our hearts is because in this coming year, for us to be the influence that he would have us to be, we're going to be able to stand and open our mouth and let him fill us with the words that we need to be able to bring people out of deception, out of darkness. Because you cannot read the media, watch the media in any form or fashion without, I've never seen where there's just so much lies. Everything that is true is being pushed down and every lie is being brought up, and people are doing exactly what the prophet Isaiah talked about, and we'll talk about that in a moment, Lord willing. But this morning, we've got to be in the place and the position that we're wax bold as a lion, but we walk in this love that's without hypocrisy, this love that is without dissimulation, that we know that that love is what pulled us out of the world, and that same love God can use through us to pull other people out. And so let's look at some things. Now notice what he said there in verse number 9. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Let it be without hypocrisy. Just let it be. We know that the Bible tells us that our God, the God of the universe, the God of the eternity, the God that has the first and the final say, is a God of love. And you are being born of Him. You are full of His love. Because you're born of His love. And so that tells us that if we have this command to the church in Rome, we know what trouble they had in Rome, then we know that love can be hypocritical. It can be right the opposite of what God would have it to be. So in these last days before the coming of the Lord, the sounding of the trumpet, God is going to raise up His church with an anointing of love, a fresh baptism of love that is going to be able to kind of shake people out of their stupor, wake them up to what God has for them. And you and I have got to believe that, and I believe that we do. And when that happens, we come back to the truth that if somebody really loves me, if somebody really loves you, they will tell you the truth. The Bible says that if we'll speak the truth in love, that it'll cause, in Ephesians chapter 4, it'll cause people to grow up. And thank God that He loves us enough to speak the truth to us. So you and I are going to have to make a stand and not worry about PC, not worry about political correctness. We're going to just have to say, listen, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not, but if you come into my space, God's gave you a space. Amen? He's gave me a space. And so if people come into our space, then they need to know they're going to be influenced by us. They're going to hear some truth from us. Now, we're not trying to get into anybody's business, so to speak, or whatever. But it, you and I have got to stand for what we believe in. We've got to be in that place, in that position, where we can say, listen, I'm standing. I'm utterly detesting evil. Now, this word evil, ponye, in the Greek, it means anything that's hurtful. So, you know, we need to look, and because, you know, we know that we're all against murder. You know, we're all against the things that are just inherently evil that we can look at and see. But being a blood-bought Christian, a child of God, you're against anything that's hurtful. And right now, when you've got lawmakers who are taking things that are wrong and making them right, that's hurtful. When you're taking lawmakers, and I mean, this bill that they just tried to pass, I mean, can you imagine sending all this money overseas when we're already in the debt that we're in? Come on, we need to stand up, and we need to get these people out of their place and position if they're going to do that. This is ridiculous. Sending all these millions of dollars to Pakistan to do a gender study? Well, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just being honest. In the beginning, God created male and female. I'm sorry, that's it. That's it. And so I don't need to spend millions of dollars, and let alone in another country. What are they doing? They're stealing your tax money. They're running this money through. It's what we would call today laundering money, okay? And so this is going over the radio and the internet. But anyway, we need to be very cautious about what's happening, what's going on. So we need to know that there is good and there's evil. And so the only way we can really know the truth is I've got to have my love perfected. How's my love perfected? That God first loved me. You said it. He loved me, and He loved me enough to go to where I was at. While I was yet a sinner, God demonstrated His love for me. That He died for me through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I let that be perfected in my life. And notice what the word says. It says, then I'll be able to abhor, I'll be able to detest that which is evil, and I'll be able to cleave, I'll be able to become one with what is good. Well, Jesus said when He walked the earth and when He was in the flesh, and we got to rightly divide the word of truth, that was while He was in the flesh, Jesus said, why do you call me good? He said, there's only one good. And that's the Father, because He was in the flesh. He was fully the Son of God, but He was in a flesh being. So He was letting us know. So We've got to adhere and to hold to the things of God. We've got to become one with the things of God. And the only way we can do that is to let this love that God has for us and for the world. For God so loved the world. He loves the sinner. Thank God He did, because I was one of the chief ones. Amen. But He loves them. And so we've got to be in the place and the position that the only thing that will pull people out of their sin is the reality of a God that loves enough to send Jesus in the very same situation and circumstance and overcome that sin by His what? By His holiness, by His blood. Amen. And so we've got to see that the world is working overtime to change the influence of the church, to change the impact of the church. And so as we see churches closing, you know, from Pew Research, they said there were still 85% of the churches closed. Something's wrong. Yes. Now, I know we got to be cautious, and we need to, you know, do the best we can in these strange times and these new workings of the enemy. But at the same time, we've got to be around each other. We've got to be around people. You can't change anybody, have an impact on anybody if you're not around them, right? And so the church has got to be in this role. Now, how do we do this? Look what he said. He said in verse number 1, Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you. He said, I'm calling you near. I want you to hear by the heart, in other words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, think about the mercies of God. The mercy of God kept me from having to go to a devil's hell. Amen. The mercies of God is real. It's tangible. It's very powerful, because from the moment that you took our first breath, the devil has had an agenda, a plan to take you out. Everything he's tried to do, he's tried to get you and I in a situation and a circumstance where he could steal, kill, and destroy what God's destiny and vision is in us and through us. And so I've got to see that. I've got to see that it's God's mercy that I'm here. And by God's mercy, I can present my body as a living sacrifice. Now, that means that, you know, in the Old Testament, they offered the sacrifices and they were consumed upon the altar and so much and so forth. But God doesn't want you and I to be consumed literally. He wants us to be consumed spiritually. He wants us to just to be consumed by the fire that is on His altar, the fire that purifies, the fire that causes us to wax hotter and hotter toward Him, toward His will, and toward the people who are without. So He said, I need to check my body. So if I'm going to be able to discern between evil and good, if I'm going to be able to detest evil and hold on to what is good, then I've got to recognize that, pinch myself, this is my number one enemy. And so I the only way that I can be able to come into that place where God would have me to be is I've got to make sure that I'm laying this flesh body on His altar. And if I'll get it on the altar, guess what? All of a sudden, the love of God will be more powerful, it'll be more pure. Instead of loving and wanting what I want, y'all may not do that. I do. I want what I want when I want it, when the flesh is raising itself up, and if something interferes with that, I may throw a little hissy fit. I may get a little aggravated, all of these things. And so when that starts happening, I recognize that I went over here on the altar and I've picked up that body. I've dusted it off, I breathed on it, I pampered it, and I brought it back to life. Okay? A sacrifice is something that is dead. It's not alive, but see, I want what I want in the natural. So I can rationalize and realize where I'm at, whether I'm walking in love, whether I'm walking in truth, by according to what I'm trying to hold on to. See, my body, it wants everything that it wanted before I got saved. And people need to know that, see, because see, people come and they get saved and they have a genuine born again experience, and they walk away from that altar, wherever it may be, whether it's in the church or wherever the altar is in the heart in reality, but wherever they go, and all of a sudden this body wakes up. And they think, wait a minute. And then the devil's there talking in their ear and say, you didn't get nothing. No, that's my body. It come from the earth. It's going back to the earth. It cannot be redeemed, though it is going to be a seed for a glorified body. Amen. Because God, through the Word, tells us that. But I've got to see that I've got to offer it as a living sacrifice. In other words, you and I have got to help people and say, listen, when that body starts wanting and desiring and moving in this direction, you say, Lord, okay, this is pulling on me. I've got to get just a little bit closer to your altar. You know, honesty. And we got to help people because they think that immediately, and there are some people when they get born again that they get delivered from certain things, and thank God for that. And that's wonderful. I'm not discounting that. But then I want you to know, though, if you didn't get delivered from that, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you as much or he doesn't have a plan for you. It's just that some things that are a thorn in the flesh help us draw closer to him. Now, I'm not saying that's God's best and God's plan, but God uses everything. Like Brother Henry said, he uses it to help us get closer and closer to him. Amen. Now, notice what he said. He said, present your living bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your logical, your reasonable service, your reasonable worship. Now, that's what the devil cannot stand. That means I can worship God with my body. See, I worship the world with my body. I worship the devil with my body. I've done all the things that all of us have encountered and walked in and worked in. But now, because of the altar of Jesus Christ, I can use this body for worship to the Lord. Isn't that something? And when I use it for the worship of the Lord, then all of a sudden I get stronger in him. I have a clarity of mind. I have an understanding because look at the next verse. It tells us that. And be not conformed, don't be fashioned alike to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So my first problem is my body, but if I keep it on the altar, then all of a sudden, then comes my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I see that it can be renewed. I can change the way I think. Because if I change the way I think, I'm going to change the way I talk. And if I change the way I talk, according to James chapter 3, my tongue is like a rudder on a ship. I can change the direction of my whole life. Yes. And so I can start talking faith like Brother Henry. I love how he always talks faith. He doesn't come in agreement with what the world says. He comes in agreement with what God says. That's what we've got to do. Amen. We've got to come in agreement with the Lord. And so we have that promise, that assurance that if I'll keep my body on this altar, then all of a sudden my mind is in a place and a position where it can hear what my spirit's saying. See, the Holy Spirit is always talking to your spirit continually. And so we've got to get from, our spirit, then we've got to get it into our soul. We've got to renew our mind. So my mind is going to be full of whatever I fill it up with, whatever I'm listening to the most. And so I need to see that God said he had a perfect, he had a good, and he had an acceptable will. Well, I've spent the majority of my life probably just barely in this acceptable will of God. And only a few times have I been in that perfect place. And God wants us in that perfect place because in that perfect place, there's peace that passeth all understanding. It's like in the eye of the hurricane. Everything's going on around you, but you're in that place. And so he wouldn't give me these three options if it wasn't possible. He wouldn't give us that possibility. So this morning, you and I, we can be in a place where everything that's evil, that's hurtful, we can recognize it and we can shun it because it's a word from the enemy. It's a work from the enemy. It's the will of the enemy. But you and I, we can renounce and reject all of that and we can come into this place with Jesus Christ. Amen. But first, laying everything, recognizing what's the body, laying it on his altar, and then asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, like Jesus said in John 14:26, into all truth, where our mind can then be so full of the Word of God that we can start talking God talk. And as we start talking God talk, we start going in that direction. We recognize the difference between evil and good. Amen? All right. And you can do it because verse 3, we won't reread it, but it said that God dealt to you the measure of faith. In other words, you've got the measure. You've got what you need. We just need to rely upon it. We need to learn how to operate in it. We need to learn how to loose it out of our life. And as you loose it, of course it's going to grow. It's going to develop. It's going to mature and all of those things. But you have this measure. So when the devil comes and he gets on your shoulder and say, well, now somebody else can believe God for that, but you can't. Go, now wait a minute. I'm not going to listen to you, devil. You're trying to get me to come over here and take my body off the altar. You're trying to get my mind to be renewed, conformed, fashioned like this world. I'm not going to be fashioned like this world. I'm going to be what? I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to go through a metamorphosis. I'm going to think so differently that when the world sees me again, they're going to ask themselves, what happened to him? What happened to her? What's going on there? Something is real. Something has changed everything about them. And I want to know how this has occurred. Amen. This is the perfect way of evangelism. When people look at your lives and they see a God that has a hand that is in your life. But let's see where we're at in the world today. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. And I admonish you, if you get a chance, just meditate on this fifth chapter. You know, it's just, what is it, 30 verses or so? Anyway, however many it is, meditate on this fifth chapter. Notice that God starts out, he talks about planting a vineyard. And right from the very beginning, we know what happened in the garden. The devil has tried to mess up what God's wanted to do. But I want you to drop down to verse number 20, Isaiah 5 and 20, and this is where we're at in the world right now. Isaiah 5 and 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now, why would they do that? Because they're not doing what Paul said to do, right? They're not renewing their mind after they've laid their body on the altar. And so right now, we've got people who are so confused. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they come from. And you and I are supposed to put our hand over our mouth and let them go to hell that way. They don't want you and I because they say that you hate. No, you speak in the truth in love because you love them. We're not in the place and the position where we're judging them. We're in a place and position to ask them, are you happy where you're at? Because you cannot help. God couldn't help me until I wasn't fed up with where I was at. When I got fed up with where I was at and where I got to where I hated my sin. So, now, you realize you can be saved and this, you can still love part of your sin and that sin can still dominate you. So when you get to where you hate your sin, then all of a sudden, then you cleave to that which is good, and that which is good delivers you from what you once loved, but now you hate. Amen? And so we've got a message to tell people. And that message is, listen, there's hurtful things out there that the world is saying is good. It's good. It's okay for you to label this and that and all those things. No, God created all things. And he looked and it was, after he put man and woman together, he looked and it was very good until what? Till the enemy come into the garden. So when things get bad is when the devil lies to people, hurts people. And so right now we're seeing this scripture fulfilled before our eyes. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light. Jesus said that he was the light of the world as long as he is in the world. Well, he's in the world in you and I now. Amen? And we're the light of the world. And so we're to shine. We're to shine and to influence and to change situations and circumstances. Let him impact the world through us rather than turn within. Because right now, this false light. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that in the last days, the Apostle Paul warned us, he said that Satan himself would be transformed as a, what? As an angel of light. And he said he would have ministers ministers that were preaching this false light. So you got to be cautious. You got to know what you're listening to. But let that love be perfected in your life. Let it be perfected in my life. We've got to have the body on the altar and the mind being renewed so we can cleave to what's good. We can recognize what's hurtful. Just because you've got people saying things is right, if it's contrary to this Bible, it's not right. Amen? No matter who's saying it, I don't care who it is, if it doesn't agree with this Bible, something's wrong. All right. He said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, it's so strange. In the book of Revelation, the last closing verses, and I believe it's in chapter 10, the angel told John the Revelator, said, take this book. It'll be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly. And he said, give it to me. And the angel said, uh-uh, take it. He said, give it to me. No, take it. So you and I, we've got to take the word for ourselves. Nobody else can give it to us. We've got to take it. And so when he took it, it was exactly what was said. It was sweet in his mouth, but bitter, meaning what? When you and I, the sweetness of the relationships that we have in our quiet time with the Lord, it's so precious, it's so wonderful, and that word is so sweet. But when we start putting it into practice out into a lost and dying world, it is bitter. But if you don't want any bitterness, you can take the world's bitterness and just walk like them. You can walk like them and they'll pat you on the back. Jesus said that the world would hate you. So you know ahead of time that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you knew that the world was going to hate you. I knew that the world was going to hate us. Because why? You're not of the world. You are of Him. Amen? But at the same time, that hate, that can challenge them to where all of a sudden they can look. And they can, and like Brother Henry said, they can look at your life and they can be propelled, they can be pushed to a God that's a God of love, because they, all of a sudden, they're challenged. They're challenged because they have to figure out why they believe what they believe. They have to figure out why they are accepting what they're accepting. They have to see that something's better, something's different. When they look at your life and they see you being blessed, they see a God in heaven taking care of you, then the words, your testimony, your life, it is a witness to them. Amen? So this word woe is they're under judgment. They're in a place where the hand of God is against them. And so what you and I have got to do is show them what it's like having the hand of God for you. Right. Amen? So this is where we're at. So what do we do? How do we come to the place where we can see a powerful difference in our life? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because, see, there's going to be a whole church world that's going to be in hell. I'm sorry. I didn't say Christians. I said a whole church world that's going to be in hell, because we have examples over and over from it. Look at in verse number 6, 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. Now, these previous five verses is what it's talking about, and we'll jump back and read that in a moment. But he said, now, these things were our examples, or to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, after worthless, hurtful things, as they also lusted. So here Paul is quoting all about God's people. They got brought out of Egypt by the strong hand of God, by miraculous powers. They got brought through the Red Sea. God done what had never been done before to bring them out, yet they couldn't trust Him for an 11-day journey. And this 11-day journey turned into a 40-year nightmare where they dropped one by one and never coming into the promised land, the promises of God, right? And so we've got to see that if we don't hear what God's saying to us, we're not in a place where we're really following after Him. We're just in the crowd another crowd. I don't want to be in that crowd. I want to be in the crowd of witnesses, don't you? The witnesses of the Lord. Now drop back up to verse 1. Let's see the context of what he's saying. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, not to know, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were baptized. It's not just about being baptized in water. We got to be baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body, right? And if we're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body, then we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, which is the level that God wants us in. Verse 2, and we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, notice it's capital, talking about Jesus, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown, they were cast down in the wilderness. So, you and I, we've got to be in the place where we let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be sincere, because it's not about where I go to church or how often I go to church or how much I pray or how much I don't pray or how much money I give or how much time I give. It's about relationship. God wants your heart. That's all it is. He wants your heart. And so that's the message that we've got to tell people, because if we're not careful, we give people the assurance that if they'll just come to church every once in a while, everything's going to be fine. God said that only those who please Him, out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's those who do the will of the Father. Well, God's will is universal, yes, but it's individual. Aren't you glad? And you're a group of people that want to know what the body's doing and want to be a part of that universal, but you're more interested because you know that you will never do the universal unless you do the individual. Amen? And so that's what you're doing. You're letting love be without dissimulation. You're letting it be sincere. In other words, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you're saying, Lord, I love you. But it's not just words out of my mouth. It's words from my heart. So I'm going to do what you'd have me to do. And knowing that I'm in the will of the Father, and since I'm in the will of the Father, all those other things, thank God for baptism, thank God for all of those things, I'm a part of that, but I'm holding on to what's good. I'm recognized. See, think about, Sister Kata, put Genesis 2:16, I believe it is, on the screen. Remember what God said in the garden? And the Lord commanded the man, He commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And I love it. From the Hebrew, it says, eating, you may eat and eat and eat. He's a God that is more than enough. Amen. There's no limitations. God wants you to have abundance. Now look at verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. So, I don't know about you, but I'm a very inquisitive person. And so, whenever I'm in a certain sin, I try to get as much knowledge about that sin as possible. How can I make that sin better? How can I make it last longer? How can I make it more exciting? All of these things. All right, well, that you know, knowledge, man's thirst for knowledge, it looks like it's good, but it can be hurtful. It can bring death. It can bring all these other sorts of things. And so we've got to see that God said, I've got a tree that's in the midst of the garden. It's a tree of life. Talking about Jesus. and said, I want you to eat from it freely. I want you to eat and eat and eat and eat. But this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, recognize and realize that it's going to look good. Remember, that's what Eve said. She said, I looked at it. It was pleasant to the eyes. See, we've got the devil dressed up in red long handle underwear and a pitchfork, and that's not the case at all. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says he is the most beautiful creature that was ever created. You know what? If he walked into most churches and was able to manifest himself, they would fall down immediately and worship him. But because you've been born of the Spirit, blood washed, it would not bear witness with your spirit. Amen. So this morning, I want you to be in the place and the position that you recognize that your salvation is about you and your Lord, you and your Savior, and you're letting that love be perfected in your life. You're cleaving to Him, and as you cleave to Him, it changes everything about your life. It makes you stronger in Him. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. The Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I need to abstain from all appearance. So it's not just that you and I, you know, there's certain things that you and I know what's evil. We know what's hurtful. But he says the way that we get stronger and the way that we're our witness, our testimony, our ability to influence those around us is that we just abstain from even the appearance. Now, this word appearance, it means shadow, sort of speak. And remember, that's what the devil is. He puts a shadow on things. He covers things. He tries to cover the light. And so not everyone that you and I know is going to hear this message, this part of what Paul's saying, but he's calling us out, and he's wanting us to be pruned and purged by this word, where the light that is in us can be a light that will warm, that will heal, that will change people. And the only way that'll happen is we can't have any shade or any form of thing, anything that's hurtful, anything that would hinder what God would do in our lives. And so this has nothing to do with salvation. This has something to do with moving deeper into the things of God to be in a greater influence, to having a greater impact. And the devil, he would be satisfied. He wants us all to go to hell, but he would be satisfied if he could keep us from this place. Because when you and I step into this place where we're not covering any of the goodness and the power of a risen Savior, it shapes people's lives. It changes them. It has the impact on them that's undeniable. Because verse 23, when we do that, look what happens. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. See, when I'm willing to keep that body on that altar and I'm allowing that word to cause my mind to be renewed, all of a sudden, the sanctifying power of the Lord comes in my life, and every part of my life becomes His. Every part. And he said, Pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a deeper walk that God's calling us to, and it's going to happen because we're going to be willing to allow Him to show us little things that the world doesn't even understand that's hurtful, that's hindrance, that's trouble. Amen? Okay, in closing, let's see how Peter put this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verse 11. He's quoting the psalmist in part in this third chapter, but in 1 Peter 3:11, Peter says, "Let him or her, let them eat you, let you know, run away from it, shun it, abstain from it. Let him or her abstain from evil, and do good. Let him or her seek peace and ensue it. In other words, pursue it." We're to pursue peace. Now, how do we How do we do that? Just the way we've been talking about. We recognize and realize that there's no peace in ourselves. There's no love in of ourselves, because the love comes from God. The peace comes from God. It comes through this relationship with God the Father through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we make this decision that we're going to abstain from evil, we're going to shun it, he said then we'd be in the place where we could truly do good. We could do something that's eternal, that's lasting, that we could seek the peace of God. We could pursue it. And how do you know if it's coming out of your life? Look at verse 10. Jump back up to verse 10. For he or she, he that will love life and see good days. That's what I want, don't you? I want to love my life. I've spent most of my life not loving my life. I'm upset about one thing or another, whining, complaining, all of these things. But for he or she that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from... Now, since Paul said that I need to shun, I need to abstain from evil, and I need to cleave to that which is good, and that we've documented that word evil is hurtful, I need to, only by the Spirit of God can I know what I might be speaking out of my life that might be evil, that might be hurtful. And he said that's going to determine whether I love life or seek good days. The people in the world, they don't love their life. They get up in torment, they go to bed in torment. Why do I know that? Because I've been there, you've been there. They're in a place of a living hell. Amen? They're in a place of total despair. But he said to us right here, he said, if we're going to love life, if we're going to be in that place, we've got to keep our tongue from evil and our lips that they speak no guile. Right now, you've got a whole generation. All they can talk is spew out vile, spew out filth. All they can do is call evil good and good evil. And they don't know what they're doing. As they're doing that, they're putting a word curse on their own life. They're cursing their own life. And as they curse their own life, they're moving away from life and they're moving closer to death. And one day, they're going to have more death in them than life. And they're going to meet a maker. And they're going to meet him without Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we've got to be in the place and the position, evil, good. We're going to have to see it through the Word of God, see it through the eyes of the Spirit, and we've got to help people just slowly. You know, when if I get off track, Donna, she'll say, you don't need to say that. Makes me want to slap her, but I don't. I say, thank you so much for loving me enough to tell me the truth. Come on, let's be honest. The flesh don't like it. But thank God somebody loves you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. All right. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now notice what happens. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Say, that's me. The Bible says that God is looking to where he can pour out his next blessing. So if his eyes are over you, if his eyes are over me, he's looking where he can bless you. He wants to bless you. You're blessed to be a blessing. Yes, I know that Paul said at the church at Ephesus that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but that does not mean that I've come to receive it yet. But I can, and you can, amen? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. We're talking about this is how I can get my prayers answered. This is how I can get those things that maybe I've been praying about for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years. I can get those prayers answered because I'm in this place where God's eyes are open to them. My situation, my circumstance, my heart. Amen? But the face of the Lord is against them that do. So, evil, good. We cleave to good. We shun, we abstain from even the very appearance of evil, and God's face is shining upon us. And look, in closing, look what he says in verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of him that is, or what is? Good. So we're choosing good. We're making a choice. And it's not our choice from our experience. It's not our choice from our understanding. It's our choice because we lay our experience and our understanding on the altar. We put the body down and we renew the mind and we come up. God has a new level of thinking for us that we've never even tapped in as of yet. But it's here. It's available to us. We're going to be able to see some things and understand some things. See what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Think about it. The intellect of being able to call things what God saw them to be. He looked at a horse, right? He was able to name out of what God had his vision for that animal. God wants you to call those things that be not as though they were. He wants you to be the one who calls out of his heart your life, your situation, your world. Amen? And the only way that we can do that is we recognize what's evil, hurtful, and we cleave to that. We hold on to that, what is good. Amen? Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness and your grace, your mercy and your love. I thank you for your spirit this morning that has touched our heart and that has moved us to your mercies. Everything that we have this morning is just by your mercies. Lord, let your comfort, let it come into each one of our lives, whether we're here physically or whether this word is going forth spiritually into somebody's life, even in a time in the future. Lord, help us be drawn close to you. Help us to feel that nudge of your spirit and help us yield to you. Lord, right now, whatever situation or circumstance that we are struggling with because of the body, because of the soul, the mind, help us to be able to lay it on your altar. Help there be a word spoke by the Holy Ghost into our life that will bring a renewal, that will bring liberty and freedom like we've never had before. Let it be. Let every person here be encouraged. Let them be strengthened, Father. Oh, I ask you in the name of Jesus, let it be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you make yourself an altar, either wherever you feel comfortable, at the front or at your chair, whatever you choose to do. And just let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning. And know that you're going to leave here walking higher in the Lord. You're going to leave here with a new understanding of blessing, a new understanding of what God would have for you this morning. Would you just allow Him to take you to that new level where you'll be ready when the pouring out of the Spirit for the influence in this coming year takes place? Would you do that in Jesus' name? Hallelujah.